You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Welcome to Thursday on The Morning Show with Preston Scott, June 17th. More on that date in just a few moments. Day number 4492 of the radio program, 149, America held hostage. And that, back in his rightful place, is Grant Allen. I'm merely Preston Scott. It's great to be with you this morning. Busy day, lots of things to talk about, lots of sound later in the program, and as always, there are things that are fun, there are things that are, inside the program, and we'll try to cover them all. Not be too angry about any one thing, try to keep some balance and perspective. But we thank you very much for joining us. Our verse of the day, Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. Refusing to forgive others is bad. And here's the thing. And you know this, right? I'm not really speaking some deep, profound truth here. I'm just reminding you. When you choose not to forgive somebody, you are only harming yourself. That person has no clue, unless you're in their company and you decide to give them this, you know, the cold shoulder. And look, forgiveness doesn't necessarily mean forgetting. Forgetting takes time. But I do believe that forgetting comes about through forgiveness. I think you learn from whatever it is that happened, whatever there is to learn from that situation or circumstance, but forgiving opens the door for whatever that experience is to one day leave your memory. I believe that with all of my heart, because unforgiveness usually becomes a broken record replay of the event, the offense, over and over and over, so you never forget. And I think that's how it works. When we are harboring bitterness, hate, unforgiveness towards another, whatever that reason is replayed over and over and over in our mind, because we're justifying the anger. We're justifying the unforgiveness. And look, anger's not a sin. You know, I heard someone say that, you know, anger's a sin. Anger is not a sin. That's biblically incorrect. That's wrong. Anger, though, can lead you to sin. Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. Anger in and itself is not a sin. It's part of life. We get angry at things. But when you hold an offense against somebody that leads to unforgiveness, you replay that offense, and so it becomes more and more difficult to forget and to move on. And it only is a burr in your saddle. So there you go. Let it go. Let it go. Now, I could start singing the song. I could just go that way because that's it's my nature. Break into a little Frozen. Idina Menzel can just cook that song. I mean, that's a really cool song. 10 minutes after the hour, this date in history, a brief synopsis of an interesting phone call I was in on yesterday, a company call, if you will, for some of us in the company. Stick around, 10 minutes after the hour, lots of insight and more coming on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
To love him, just like him on Facebook at Preston Scott Show.
Making a note here, minding myself, my brain, I absolutely have Labrador squirrel syndrome. Absolutely do. Let's see here. On this date, June 17th, 1579, Sir Francis Drake anchors in the San Francisco Bay, claims the area for Queen Elizabeth I.
Huh. And the Elizabeths have been reigning ever since.
1579.
I didn't realize he made it all the way to San Francisco.
Oof. 1775, Patriot and British troops fight the Battle of Bunker Hill near Boston, which is, of course is actually Breed's Hill, right?
Right. There are two hills on the island. We picked Bunker for whatever reason.
But I mean, it's actually called Breed's Hill.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But there is a Bunker Hill.
Why'd we name that Bunker Hill when it's really kind of not... It's Breed's Hill.
I don't know. Yeah. I couldn't tell you.
1856. What do I keep you here for?
I don't know.
In Philadelphia, the Republican Party opens its first presidential nominating convention. John C. Fremont becomes the GOP candidate. The party founded to end slavery. Just pointing that out. 1885, Statue of Liberty arrives in New York in sections. If I'm not mistaken... Some of it lost by American Airlines. And it took forever to get those suitcases delivered. 1972, five men arrested for breaking into Democratic National Headquarters at the Watergate Complex. And then jumping back to 1919, it was on this date, June 17th, 1919, that my dad... Ray E. Scott was born in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Crazy.
Would be 102.
Whew. Wow. Yeah, I mean, I was relatively young for, you know, when you look at losing my dad. I mean, he was 78, I was 38. And so
your parents had you when they were older then.
Yes. Surprise!
Since you're the youngest of...
Surprise! Yeah, yeah. There was my sister's the oldest. Year and a half later, brother. A year later, brother. 6 years later, brother. 6 years later, me.
Wow.
So, yeah, my eldest sibling is... My oldest sibling and my... Next youngest sibling are the only ones still surviving. My oldest, my sister, is 15 years my senior, and my brother is 6 years my senior. So, yeah, there you go. Yesterday, iHeart holds a call for the News Talk division. Supposed to be for program directors. I don't know why I was asked to be on that call.
You got the Zoom link or whatever.
I don't know why I was asked to be on that call. I'm not a program director. Don't want to be a program director.
Sure.
So I'm sitting there listening, and there it is. There, you know, on there he is on screen. Buck Sexton. Clay Travis remained off screen, but on mic. So the two of them talked about their new show, and that's my way of saying to you that Monday is the day. So tomorrow, best as I know, it's the final Rush Limbaugh program. And I wish that our company had handled this differently. I know that there are reasons why they do what they do. They don't always share those, and they don't have to. But just for me, I just want to extend to you, because I know so many of you have enjoyed listening to Rush, even though Rush is with Jesus. We believe that. I wish it had been handled differently. It hasn't been. So let's give it a shot. You know, Buck Sexton, been a guest on the program, bright guy. I have no doubt we'll eventually have Clay Travis on, a very opinionated, bright guy. They're going to form a team, and we'll see what happens starting Monday right here on these radio stations.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Dude, yes!
An iHeart radio station.
I have in my hands a prodigious stack of stories that make up the I haven't gotten to them yet stack of stories. And thankfully, yesterday was relatively quiet, so I can catch up on some of these things. Now, these are things that I've held on to because I think they're worth, if you were aware of them at the time, going a little deeper, or if you've not heard it, because I know that many of you just don't go out there and you rely on us to present stories that you need to know, stories that are out there, and things that might fall through the cracks in the mainstream media. And so you might not have heard this, but here's a study from the Survey Center. They interviewed 2,019 adults. Margin of error, plus minus 2.4%. May 2021 American Perspective Survey to analyze how the tense political climate impacts friendships. So if I were to ask you on the front end what that means, what do you think the results would be? What do you think we're going to learn here in the next 3 minutes?
That those left of center have lost friends because of political leanings, but those right of center have been able to manage friendships of different backgrounds and different thoughts. I'm just giving you, I think that those are the results.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I go back to I've had Brandon Strock on the show a couple times, and I haven't had him on lately. I've been trying. The Walk Away campaign started kind of because Brandon started to get kicked out of his friendship circles. He was an uber liberal. He cried when Hillary lost. And as he saw the media portrayal of Donald Trump, he started to say, wait, what? Because some people that he knew were like, you know that's not true. And so, wait a minute, what do you mean it's not? And so he would start digging, and that's what led to the Walk Away campaign. He got excoriated for questioning the mainstream media.
He didn't toe the line like a good liberal.
And I mean, literally, he was accosted
verbally,
and friendships ended as a result. So here's the result. While only 15% of people say that a friendship has ended over political disagreements, which to me, that surprises me. I thought that number would be a little bit north of 20-25%. But there is a clear ideological rift that exists. According to the study, quoting, Democrats are twice as likely as Republicans to have ended a friendship over political disagreement, 20% versus 10%. Political liberals are also far more likely than conservatives are to say they are no longer friends with somebody due to political differences, 28%, 28% to 10%. The study discovered liberal women in particular are most likely to end a friendship with someone of opposing views. In fact, quoting from the study, no group is more likely to end a friendship over politics than liberal women are. 33% say they stop being friends with someone because of their politics.
Wow.
One of every three. Republicans usually get the false reputation of being hateful and intolerant, but I've described for years that is absolutely opposite of the case. Republicans are, by and large, there are exceptions, the living, breathing, and more so conservatives. Republicans, I'd say a good, hearty supermajority. Conservatives, 95%. 95%, because conservatism is based on values that don't move. They're anchored. And so Republicans just are live and let live. Truly. That's their thing. Don't tread on me. And so you nailed it. Your guess was on the money.
Thank you. Ha ha!
Huzzah! 27 minutes after the hour.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You're there quickly and safely. Traffic and weather on the 10s. It's the Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes after the hour, it's the Morning Show with Preston Scott. Okay. Now, show of hands, who has ever heard of Tony DeCoupel?
Crickets.
Yeah. He's one of the hosts of CBS This Morning. Now, it would make sense that I don't know about him because we are on when they are on. But usually, I mean, you remember the days of Brian Gumbel, Katie Kirk? I mean, everybody knew who was hosting the Today Show.
Yeah.
Everybody knew. You even had a shot at maybe knowing a name or two on CBS or ABC, but yeah, who pays attention anymore? Well, they're sitting around talking yesterday. And they are looking at a viral video of a dude stealing items at a San Francisco Walgreens before exiting the store on a bicycle. Dukapul, and Dukapul, I don't know how to pronounce his name. So I'm not, it is not beyond me to intentionally butcher somebody's name just for goofs. I am not doing that now. I don't know how to say the guy's name. He says, after Vlad Duthiers plays the video of the theft, so crime is never justified, of course. But I will say, this is his co-host who says, I will say I think they could have made a little better effort to stop that bicycle. I mean, you could have disrupted that bike. And this is when Dukapul says, well, I mean, I don't know. You don't need to be a hero over some toothbrushes or whatever it is. So as the discussion continues, Dukapul apparently is the dude that thinks it's okay to shoplift. I mean, you're not getting rich off of what you take from a Walgreens. It's an act of desperation. You're probably getting something you need. I don't know the details of that particular case. And then one of the other co-hosts said, I mean, a bag full? They look like hair products, which are valuable. He's filling his bag full of them. Co-host Adriana Diaz confirmed the stolen products were, in fact, hair products, like hair coloring products and stuff like that, which can be very pricey. What I find interesting is this idea of, well, it's okay, they need it. How different is that from the famous line from someone with Black Lives Matter about looting stores? They've got insurance. People need stuff. So now we've got an anchor of a mainline national program saying it's okay to shoplift. Wonder if he feels the same about people taking stuff from his house.
Anything to justify their own immorality.
I'm just saying, let's go hang out at his place and lift a few things while we're visiting. Hey, do you mind if I have that? I don't have one of those. 40 minutes after the hour.
Justice and the American way. Like Superman, only with a microphone. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
President Biden meets with Putin. Sorry, that makes me giggle. The Donald gives the appraisal of it all with Hannity. We got nothing. Sean, we got nothing. I love that guy. All right. In the stack. It has been a very trending story this week. G. Van Fleet. She is a mom, lives in Virginia, lived through the Chinese Cultural Revolution, otherwise known as the mass extinction of millions by Chairman Mao. She visited the Virginia School Board meeting on Tuesday. I don't know if it was Tuesday this week or Tuesday last week, but she was there. She was 6 years old when Mao Zedong began his brutal reconstruction of the Chinese culture. She is, quote, very alarmed by what schools in the area are teaching, and I'm quoting her now. This is a Chinese national. You are now teaching, training our children to be social justice warriors and to loathe our country and our history. I want you to grab a hold of that because that there's something she said there that is going to be prevalent in some comments I play from a North Korean defector.
I was just about to mention that.
That I'm going to share in the third hour. Our country. Our history. Man, That just fires me up when I hear people from another nation that have taken that pledge and have disassociated themselves from their birthland and have taken ownership of America. See, I, contrary to what a lot of people think about conservatives, we love legal immigrants because that's what we all, in essence, kind of are. Even if it's by extension from a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, a great-great-great-grandparent, we are products of immigrants. That's our nation. But we are an individual, unique nation. And when people come here and tie in, that fires me up. Our country, our history. She goes on to say, growing up in Mao's China, all this seems very familiar. The communist regime used the same critical theory to divide people. The only difference is they used class instead of race. During the Cultural Revolution, I witnessed students and teachers turn against each other. We changed school names to be politically correct. We were taught to denounce our heritage. The Red Guard destroyed anything that wasn't communist, statues, books, anything else. She goes on to say that in China, programs like the Student Equity Ambassador Program and bias reporting system that the school board is using in the United States, both of which the mother said are just like the Cultural Revolution's call to report on each other. This is indeed the American version of the Chinese Cultural Revolution. The critical race theory has its roots in cultural Marxism. It should have no place in our schools. Boom, man, that is mic drop city. And that's why her comments have gone viral. It's like the video I put on my blog page last week from a Venezuelan with his daughter trying to enter the country illegally, saying, you people wanting to be socialists, you don't know what you're dealing with. Let me tell you about socialism in Venezuela. Let me tell you about why everything I own is in my backpack and my daughter's standing here.
Thank God there's a pushback.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
It's not there yet. More to come on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Listen to your opinions and tell you you're wrong. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Well, good morning. It's Thursday. We're in the midst of a major project at our place. I don't know what you're doing. Bless my wife's heart. She is. I'm doing a little bit when I have the opportunity. Weekends is kind of my time. You know, Friday after the show on through the Saturday is kind of go time for me, but we are doing the dreaded going through all the bins and boxes in the shelving and the attic, consolidating, farming out what we can to who it belongs to, unless they don't have room, and then we go ahead and take one for the team. And woof! Your sweet wife is there, tears in her eyes. I want to throw this away. Well, then don't. Oh, no, you can't throw away history. You can't. And if the kids that you leave behind don't care about it, at least you're gone. You're with Jesus and it doesn't matter. Just what a chore. Anyway, that's what we've got working right now. And I know, for example, I got bins up there that have like just disparate stuff that just doesn't belong together. And then I've got duplicates of things and it's like, ah, see, I don't have much problem throwing stuff away. A bunch of my old sermons on tape. I was ready to chuck them in the trash can. And she's like, well, at least ask the boys if they want it. Do you want this? Yes.
You don't have the sentimentality.
here. And I mean, there they are. You get them. And you know what? And I get that. There will come a time that it might be really cool for a grandpa, great-grandpa, great-great-grandpa to hear the voice of that person.
Yeah.
And so I get it. I treasure anything that I come across, stumble upon, hear of my dad. You know, today was my dad's birthday. And so anytime that I hear my dad's voice, it's really cool. And I recognize that that is a special gift for my generation. You know, subsequent generations, it's going to be far more commonplace to be able to hear or see videos and things of your dad, your mom, your family because of phones. But for my dad's era, it's very rare that people had an occupation where they were recorded.
But
as frequently as my dad.
You watch an old, like, if ESPN's putting together a promo of, like, a historic whatever, and they get a clip from this game in 1960 whatever, and you're, oh, hey.
Dad.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what happened in the movie Die Hard.
Yeah.
My God, that's my dad. And he's looking at you like, yeah, whatever, dude. No, my dad's in the movie Die Hard. Not physically, but his voice is in the movie. It's crazy. Anyway. So that's what we're up to right now. But this is fascinating to me. Came across this story because of one of the research fellows of the morning show and a soon-to-be-named broadcasting network. I don't know what we'll come up with something. Since technically we are a network, we are in multiple markets through iHeartRadio. We are across the country. And we are in multiple markets in terrestrial radio. So we can come up with a good network name.
Yeah.
We can do this. Press release. Gainesville, Florida. A group of parents in Gainesville concerned about the potential harms from masks submitted 6 face masks to a lab for analysis.
Oh, I saw
this. The resulting report found that 5 masks were contaminated with bacteria, parasites, fungi, including 3 dangerous, pathogenic, and pneumonia-causing bacteria. No viruses were found in the masks.
Blech.
The test is capable of detecting viruses. More on that next hour. That's just plain gross. Steve Stewart on deck on the morning show with Preston Scott. Hour number 2 of the morning show with Preston Scott. As fate would have it, I happen to have that name, so it works out really well for me to be hosting this radio program. That's Grant Allen over there in Studio 1A. I'm here in Studio 1B, and it's time. Huh? Huh? See, look at us. That high-end, major market production quality, buddy.
There you go. That's what we do.
Just like ting, right there. That, of course, is the theme for the investigative reporting of Tallahassee Reports, and the executive editor, Steve Stewart, with me, TallahasseeReports.com. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. A little cool outside. Get out there. Enjoy it.
Yeah. It ain't going to last long.
No. It's in June, though, and it's cool. That's nice.
You're giddy. Are you giddy because of the coverage that you are bringing to the community on, say, the Leon County school system?
Yeah, that would be one. First, I got a good night's sleep. But the second thing, yeah, would be that. Yeah, we've got, you know, we're just pumping out stories that people aren't covering.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, I'm glad we can do that.
It's par for the course.
And we appreciate that. But, you know, we are covering the school board meeting. We've got a reporter that watches the meeting and is writing 3 or 4 stories a week. And, you know, and we're moving the ball forward there. People are getting more informed. Mm-hmm. They had a school board meeting on Tuesday. But before I get to that, it was on that agenda for the school board meeting on Tuesday. I was going through the agenda and saw, you know, they have a section there where they list personnel actions. And they do it every meeting. And obviously, different parts of the year, it's more substantive. And it really just tracks what they're doing in terms of hiring, people leaving. And so this time of year is when teachers decide to either get a new job or resign or
retire, move on, right. Whatever.
And so I was looking through the agenda and saw this personnel action. There's like 86 teachers that moved on. And so I just took that and put it in a story so that people could be, it lists the teacher, it lists the school, what their job was, and then it gives a reason. Most of them are resigned, but some of it says we're moving out of town or got a new job. And I thought that would be informational for people who, you know, people want to know if their favorite teacher is leaving or whatever. Thousands of people went and read that. And this is just an example of the type of journalism, data journal, information, fact-based journalism. This is just taking information that the school board has got buried in their agenda. They don't talk about it at the meeting. It's just there because they have to do it. And so we had 4,000 or 5,000 people read this story. And it generated so many more questions. Well, like, you know, there's 86 resignations. How does that compare to previous years? So we're going to go and look at that. I didn't put it up there for that purpose, but then you get feedback.
Well, there
from
is,
it.
And in fairness, there is turnover every single year. It happens.
Yes, and we'll have actually to be today or tomorrow. We'll have a story for the last 6 years of the number of teachers. So we'll do that. But my point is just getting that information out.
Yeah,
and that's coverage.
Now, you're informed.
Exactly. So the school board meeting, first of all, Alva Striplin, who is on the school board, she is leaving her current job, taking another job, which means that she also is going to resign her position on the Children's Service Council, which is a position that's carved out for a school board member. So at the meeting, they announced that, and they appointed Daryl Jones as her replacement on the CSC, which now,
okay,
yes, so that is that was news at the school board meeting, and they are the CSC, which we'll talk about at another time, is starting to get ramped up, and they're starting to get they'll have a budget out next time, so we can look at that. But the third thing from the school board meeting, we've got a Title I grant, Title I schools, people are familiar with those, $10 million from the feds to go to Title I schools, and when I saw that number, I thought, wow, that's a lot of money for 5 or 6 schools. Turns out that we have 23 Title I schools out of the 43 the schools that we have, which I thought was...
More than half.
More than half. Now, we've got to look into exactly, you know, what the criteria is. This is, yeah, a federal program. I think the school districts submit information. You know, economically disadvantaged is the term that's used. But it appears that 40% of our kids in Leon County are in a Title I school. And so that sort of caught me off guard. And again, information that you're not going to get anywhere else, but that just seems really high for our community where we have a low unemployment number. We've got decent...
23 schools.
23.
Out of how many?
43.
So more than half the schools, but 40% of the population.
Exactly. So that would say, yeah, a lot of the schools are probably under capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Steve Stewart with us. More to come on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You, the facts. The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Giving you a snapshot here of what's going on inside Leon County, the community, the city, the county, and the schools. And Steve Stewart's the executive editor of Tallahassee Reports. I remind you each time we have Steve on the program, that's where you go to get information, as he points out. It is not being covered anywhere else. And it's not necessarily, Steve, controversial. It's just informative as well.
Exactly. And it's stuff that gets published but or gets provided by government but just doesn't get talked about, just gets buried because they're required to publish it. And then so we're going through and looking at things that are interesting and getting out there to the members of the community.
One of the things that's I think among the most consequential in our community is the blueprint sales tax. That we have a half cent that's tacked on here. Leon County's at the highest tax rate of any county in the state, and part of that is the blueprint money. So what that money's spent on matters a lot.
No, it does, and it's one of these things, again, that you see the infrastructure going up, so you know what you're paying for. Yeah. And the community has bought into that tax, and we'll see how long that goes on. It's 20 years. It gets renewed every 20 years, and so this one has been renewed. A major project that we're dealing with right now is the Northeast Gateway, and that's been, you know, the Wilani Plantation property, which stretches from basically Flashman all the way out to Roberts Road.
Mm-hmm.
You see Canopy Road development, which is at the Canopy development, which is at the very beginning of that. But they're looking to build a road from Flashman all the way up to Roberts Road, and right behind Montford and Roberts Elementary School. And so this has been a controversial project, but for the last couple of years, they've worked on it and got it sort of ironed out with agreements with Clarence Estates, which is the biggest neighborhood there. And then they voted 8-3 to move forward with it. But about a month, 2 months later, they had some buyer's remorse because some property owners out there really wanted to delay it. So they delayed it for another 2 weeks because there's some financial implications if we don't get it done by June 30th. And so they had this meeting June 15th to reconsider it. And, you know, I went and sat there for 3 hours. It was the blueprint meeting only for that topic. And I like going to those meetings because you've got all elected officials there, the city and the county. And so you can sort of get an idea of the dynamic between some officials, what's going on. And so it was very interesting to see that for that project, the vote was 9-3 to go ahead and move forward with it. But it was because of the transportation benefits and the jobs that are going to be created. It was very positive to hear the number of commissioners talking about jobs and transportation. Now, the three that voted against it, Jeremy Matlow, Jack Porter, and Commissioner Bill Proctor, did it for different reasons. Matlow and Porter probably for the same reason. They just think that the money should be spent somewhere else. We should be looking at more public transportation. Don't build the road until you need it. And things of that nature. Exactly. And, you know, here we are planning, but now it's, you know, they want Tharp Road widened. They want Orange Avenue fixed. And so it got into a debate on how the South Side is being ignored. And I think it was interesting to see, though, that you've got a lot of people that represent the South Side. You got Diane Williams Cox, you got Curtis Richardson, Nick Maddox to a large degree, African Americans who voted against that idea that the South Side was being ignored. So I think that's a positive thing to see. Commissioner Proctor used it as, you know, as an opportunity to, you know, highlight some other issues. He did raise an interesting question, though. He asked why we hadn't looked into widening Centerville Road. He posited that we would probably kill less trees by widening Centerville Road than building a new road through Plantation, which I thought was an interesting point.
Is it about the Canopy Road, though? I don't think it's about widening. I think that's irrelevant. It's about protecting the canopy.
No, I think it is. I mean, you look at the Canopy Roads, that's a big deal here, and I think you would really get a lot more pushback from that. If at the end of the day, when you look at this about the jobs and the transportation benefits, there were 20 speakers. I understand a couple of people are going to be impacted out in that area.
Sure.
Commissioner Brian Welch, who was very passionate about his vote for it, and it's in his district, he sat down with his people and he said, look, we're not going to ever make everybody happy on a project this size. But so it was good to see the vote. I think that, you know, it's a project that's going to define Tallahassee for the next 15 to 20 years.
Yeah, and the problem with Commissioner Matlow's approach is that's the approach that's led us to where we don't have widened roads, is let's wait till we need it.
Bannerman,
that's too late.
Bannerman's behind the curve right now if we'd have done that 10 or 15 years ago.
You'd be hard-pressed to make me believe Tharp Road needs widening when people are leaving that area. But that's just me. All right, more with Steve Stewart back next on The Morning Show.
UFLA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
Hey, so here we go.
An iHeartRadio station.
Final segment with Steve Stewart, executive editor, Tallahassee Reports. Get that paper, TallahasseeReports.com is how you subscribe. Lots of things to talk about. We were talking about Blueprint, made up, of course, the county and the city. And the city, of course, they've been tackling a lot of stuff,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so they had a meeting. It was pretty uneventful. And so I wanted to talk, first of all, continuing with the Blueprint vote, which goes into the city, because so if you look at the city, the vote was 3-2 for that. So we had Matlow and Porter voted against it, and then you had Curtis Richardson and Mayor John Daly and Diane Williams Cox voted for it. But at the end of the during the Blueprint meeting, as I talked about, there was this thing about the South Side being ignored. And you know what, it's interesting to see the dynamic. We've talked about this, you know, but you know, 10 years ago, you know, local elections, the Democrats, it's supposed to be nonpartisan, were fighting against conservatives trying to win seats, you know, in the county and the city. Well, now none of the conservatives are running because of the dynamics of the electorate. So now you see Democrats fighting, sort of arguing with each other. And this is one of these topics that I think is very interesting. So at the Blueprint meeting, they're saying how the South Side has been ignored.
Who's they?
That would be Commissioner Proctor, Matlow, Porter.
Okay.
And so that sort of starts to offend some other people that have been on these commissions and have been voting for projects. And so yesterday at the city commission meeting, I watched a good part of it. At the end, they have a sharing of ideas, which is really where you get some good information. And Diane Williams Cox, who lives on the South Side, really took her time to respond to that critique and just started reading the amount of money and the projects that are being I'm going to get the list.
Well done.
I'm going to get the list. Started reading off the projects and the amount of money, and it was in direct response to this tactic of trying to divide the city. You know, we are segregated from an economic standpoint. You can just see that. We're trying to deal with that, and you've got these elected officials that just are promoting that as a way to generate, you know, votes, I would assume. Because, you know, even Commissioner Proctor, who gets on this bandwagon every now and then, he ran for office a couple of years ago and he passed out a flyer that said that he had secured $1 billion in projects over the last 10 years for the South Side. So it's, you know, so you start to see that this is sort of a political strategy to divide. But now, since the politics of it is they're not worrying about some outside force taking over or coming in, they're having to address it themselves. And I thought that was very interesting. She was quickly followed up by Curtis Richardson, who lives on the South Side and was very, very offended by the notion that the South Side is being ignored. His point was, you know, you might be able to argue that 20 years ago. He said, but with what's going on now in this community, that's not true. And, you know, it's to the detriment. You look at this road, this Northeast Gateway, you know, I would argue there's not and it's not that we need it, but there's not a lot of development or project dollars been spent on the Northeast. Most of it has been downtown in the CRA in the last 15 years. And so we're starting to see now some more money being invested because if you look at the Northeast, this is where everybody is sort of moving.
Well, and at some point you have to question the value of investing more money in areas where we've constantly, I had the discussion with Mayor Daly the last time he was on, how frequently are we going to reinvest in developing the Frenchtown bond community where it doesn't last?
And those are Band-Aid approaches. I mean, if you start looking at some of the major projects, FSU Gateway, that's a road, a blueprint project. That's major. You start looking at Orange Avenue, where the VA hospital is on the South Side. You got Tallahassee Classical, a school on Tram Road. I believe it's Tram Road.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, development is happening. So I just don't like this idea because it's working nationally where they're trying to divide us. And you start to see it here locally with some elected officials. The good thing is right now I think they're outnumbered in votes. So but we'll keep
in the
an
city
eye on
it's
that.
A little closer than we like.
Yeah, the city is only one vote away from really having an issue.
Interesting. All right, thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Preston.
Steve Stewart with us from Tallahassee Reports, 27 minutes after the hour. Remember, go to TallahasseeReports.com.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes past 7 in the east, 6 in the central, and wherever you are scattered across the fruited plain and around the globe. Thanks very much for making this part of your morning. We appreciate it. That's Grant. I'm Preston. It's the morning show. Rather than getting stuck on all the names, one of the co-anchors at CBS this morning on Wednesday excused the shoplifting of a guy on a viral video riding away, pedaling away on a bike, stole a bunch of expensive hair products from a Walgreens. The guy says, oh, this reads as an act of desperation. I mean, you're not getting rich off what you take from Walgreens. It's probably just getting something you need. I don't know the details of this particular case. His co-hosts were like, no, this is shoplifting. But this dude's excusing it. You don't get rich off of stealing. So is the excuse that we now are moving towards as a culture, because this is the mindset that is prevalent in the Black Lives Matter movement. Looting is acceptable because the stores have insurance.
And looting is acceptable because the looter is part of an oppressed class.
In need.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on in California, the organized crime ring stealing up to $950 worth of gear because at that point it's a misdemeanor. So they go in and they organize, they price shop, and they steal just stuff that adds up to $950. They go in mass, they all leave with the same stuff, then they fence it, sell it online, do whatever, and it's okay because they're playing the odds. Okay, so if I'm busted, it's a misdemeanor. So what? I don't care. But this idea, last hour as I talked about this, I joked about, well, let's wander into this co-host at CBS's is place and just kind of look around. Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah, that's my blank, 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 blank. Really? I have never seen that before. That's sweet. I think I want one. Can I have yours? You know what? I want one. I'm taking yours.
And you're clearly more wealthy than I am, so you have to give it to me.
You work for CBS. You're a co-host of a big-time morning show. If that's the logic, but think about it. This is what illiberalism and leftists and a lot of Democrats do. You can't have a gun, but by golly, we've got security details with AK-47s or the like. You can't put a border on your property, on your nation, on your state, but we can live behind walled armed security inside gated communities and so forth.
Inside the U.S. Capitol.
Well, not just there, but wherever they call home.
Exactly.
They have security details wherever they go. They get special treatment at flying. I mean, the list goes on and on. Do as we say, not as we do. Look at the gal with Black Lives Matter. Check out what she's been spending on security detail. And by the way, has anybody noticed the security detail around Kamala Harris? It's just classically funny how this all unfolds. All right, it's 20 minutes away from the top of the hour. We got Dr. Steve Steverson standing by. Let's talk about the pups, shall we? The cats, the dogs, the kittens, the puppies. And storm season next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Live, local, and laughter. It's The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7. WFLA.
If you want to wax eloquent, share some stuff, Preston@iHeartRadio.com. Be pithy, be factual. If you want to share something, it is Grant Allen@WFLAFM.com. Time for pause for thought. Dr. Steve Steverson of the Bradfordville Animal Hospital joins us. Dr. Steve, how are you, sir?
Hey, Preston, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm still laughing. I'm still laughing at that email you sent me, brother. I cannot believe the. I mean, look, we see these. That's a story for Fox News. That should be pushed out. That needs to go viral. Tell everybody what you've encountered.
This is definitely our so far our surgery of the year. It was quite entertaining. We had this boxer pit bull mix come in that had eaten something. The owner saw it when they walked into the living room. The dog was scarfing something down. The next day, the dog throws up a rubber ducky. And so they have small children, and so they thought, oh, no, the dog's still sick and not acting well. They think this dog ate more than one rubber ducky, and so they brought it in to us. We took x-rays, and we can see something in the stomach. We don't know what it is, and so we say, yeah, we got to go in and do surgery and remove this thing. We go in and do surgery and open this dog up and pull out 11 pacifiers from this dog.
No.
They wondered where all of their infants' pacifiers were going. Well, we found them.
Oh my gosh! So was it like one at a time, or did you just like
No, one at a time. You make a little small incision. You take a little instrument, a pair of hemostats, we call them, and reach in and grab something and pull it out. Oh, there's more. Reach in and pull another one out. Nope, there's still something there. Reach in and pull another out. And we just kept retrieving them until we had 11 of them out of this dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So it was quite entertaining.
So now when you talk to your veterinarian friends, do you say, I delivered a litter of 11 pacifiers?
Yeah, that's right. We all have stories like that. We all compare notes and what's the most bizarre thing we've done, you know, surgery-wise, taking stuff out of dogs' stomachs. We do that all the time, but usually it's a sock or a towel, you know. So 11 pacifiers was to kind of – That takes the bait.
What was there another little rubber duck in there?
There was not.
It was all pacifiers.
I'm sure, yeah, next time.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
These owners lived elsewhere before, and this dog had actually had surgery before for removing a foreign body from him. And I don't recall what that was. It was nothing exciting a couple of years ago. So this dog was a repeat offender.
That's crazy. All right, it's storm season, and I'm certain we'll need to carry this over to another visit. But what are some of the important things to think of in advance of a storm coming through a region?
Yeah, you know, Preston, every year we talk about this when storm season's coming up, and then invariably every year when storm season hits, someone will call us, and they're up in Georgia or North Carolina, and they forgot their pet's medication. They want us to call in their pet's medication into an out-of-state pharmacy. We're like going, you know, we can't call it into that state. We're not licensed in that state. And so, you know, I encourage all the listeners to be prepared, have all your pet's medication ready. So if you do have to evacuate, you have those ready to go. That's always in my mind. Number one is make sure all your pet's medication and any medical records you have are in a container and ready to go with you if you have to travel. Obviously, food and water's got to go with them. They've got to have that. I'd plan for at least 5 days of food and water for your pet. Of course, you have a cat. You got to add a litter box and litter to that package. Yeah. And then you've got leashes and harnesses so that you're a secure carrier, so your pet is safe and can't get away from you, and you don't stop at a rest stop, and the pet jumps out of the car and takes off. Make sure you always have that leash or collar or harness ready to use.
Yeah, because they are very sensitive to what's going on, and they're more excitable and nervous during storm times, right?
Very much so. And some pets aren't used to traveling, and you get stopped somewhere, and you want to let them out to go for a walk, and they're in some strange environment in the back of a fast food restaurant parking lot where there's a little grass, and they jump out terrified, and they take off.
And you got to have that record of vaccines in case you end up in a shelter.
Most definitely, yes. Along those lines, always having some permanent identification on your pet is really, really important. A tag on a collar helps. A microchip is ideal. Every animal shelter in the country nowadays has a microchip scanner. And so if your pet gets lost, when that pet is picked up by the animal control services or comes to a veterinarian's office from a good Samaritan that brings it in, that everybody routinely now scans those pets for a microchip. If there is a chip, then it's very, very easy to track down the owner and call them and reunite the pet with their owner. If there's no microchip, then it becomes much, much more challenging a lot of times to reunite the pet with the owner.
Dr. Steverson, as always, thanks so very much for the time, and we will talk again in a couple weeks.
Great. Thanks, Preston.
Thank you, sir. Dr. Steve Steverson with us this morning. 11 pacifiers. You got to be kidding me.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Morning show with Preston Scott.
You can't handle the truth.
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
A reminder here that best as I can explain to you, Friday will be the final Rush Limbaugh program. Effective Monday on this and most of the stations that have carried Rush Limbaugh for these many years. At noon Eastern, 11 o'clock Central, and so forth, you will have Buck Sexton and Clay Travis. Buck and Clay. Clay and Buck. I don't know which name will come first, but got a chance to listen to the two of them talk yesterday in a private call, just talking about their heart for the type of program they're going to do together. Two very individual pieces coming together to become one show, and their heart to continue the values of Rush's program, the beliefs of conservatism, and to express them just in their way. Be very, very smart not to try to be Rush, because there is no other one. You know, you have to be you. You know, I don't try to be Rush. I don't try to be Glenn Beck or Sean Hannity or Buck Sexton or Clay Travis or Bill O'Reilly or Mark Levin or, you know, take your pick. Everybody should be themselves, whatever that means. And so that's going to be a transition. And I'm letting you know because I'm not certain that I concur with how the company's decided to roll this out with very limited promotion. They did announce it. Usually the thought process, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, people a lot smarter than me run this company. And it makes a lot of sense that, for example, if there was a time we here in Tallahassee took over an FM signal that we had a station that was doing a certain music format, and we took over that format. The decision was made that what we were doing was more popular and could generate better revenue stream and be listened to by more people. And so they moved us in. They gave no notice. It was just boom, switch flipped. And it's a smart way to do it, because what it doesn't do is it doesn't allow people time to get all upset and bothered. It's just changed. And you don't get protests and you don't get a bunch of noise, and it just happens. And then you deal with the fallout for a few days and you move on. And that's what happened. You know, our show, you know, tracked very, very well on another frequency that we had. And so they said, let's dump it to FM. And here we went. And the rest is history. We've done very, very well. And we've been very blessed and fortunate to have the show picked up in other markets and have our own iHeart channel and so forth. And that's great. I maintain Rush is different. That 30 years and the audience developed, it might have been better to give a little bit more explanation and promotional notice just for the sake of Clay and Buck. You know, how'd you like to be them? And so I'm pulling for them. I hope you give it a chance. They really honored Rush in their commentary yesterday, and I was pleased to hear that. And so Monday, it's a new show at noon to 3. Same values, different people sharing them. Hope you give it a shot. Come back with the third hour of the morning show next, right here. You will not want to miss the third hour. Minutes after, it is Thursday on the morning show with Preston Scott. I'm Preston. That's Grant. Good morning. I'm turning the page of the rundown here, and I have here three sound bites that I have edited only in keeping content together that belongs together. I've not cut anything out or added. I've just, well, I guess I've cut out by virtue of moving something to another segment. But I put these in bite-sized chunks. And this is a young lady named Yanmi Park. Yanmi Park is a North Korean defector. She and her mother first fled North Korea in 2007. She was 13 years old at the time. After crossing into China over the frozen Yalu River, they ended up in the hands of human traffickers who sold them into slavery. With the help of Christian missionaries, the pair managed to flee to Mongolia, walking across the Gobi Desert to eventually find refuge in South Korea. What a roundabout way to get to South Korea. She eventually found herself in America, and because of her intellect and grades, she ended up in Columbia University. And she introduces herself, and she definitely has a thick accent. English is her third language, but I think she communicates very effectively, and I've tried to clean up an online audio clip. It's video, but I've grabbed the audio, obviously, and make it as easy for you to understand as possible.
I was born in North Korea in the end of 1993 and escaped when I was 13 years old, and then went to China, then Mongolia, then South Korea, and I came to America. So it was a long journey to be free. So I went to Columbia University in 2016. I transferred from South Korean University. I still remember at the orientation, I loved books. When I was in North Korea, history was forgotten. They don't tell us Big Bang or even the Jesus Christ or whatever the theory says how we came about as a humanity is not taught. So when I was at school, though, you know, I was excited about like learning about history and, you know, how the people thought back then. And one of the person at the organization was asking who like loves Jane Austen and who reads these classical books. And I was like, I love those books. I just like thought it was a good thing, right? And then she was like, did you know that those writers who had a colonial mindset were racist and bigots wrote their books? So they are subconsciously brainwashing you. And that's like when I realized, wow, this is insane. I'm like, I literally thought I thought America was that different, and I just saw so much similarity that I saw in North Korea, and I was started worrying about this country.
Started worrying about this country at Columbia University based on the way she was being taught and how she was already being told that the books that she was interested in about history were brainwashing her. Remember, it is the tactic of illiberalism to accuse others of what they are guilty of. As we go through the next couple segments, I'm going to share a couple more clips from her talk that will reveal what's going on in our college campuses, what's happening in our culture. And again, from the perspective of somebody that was in one of the most oppressive regimes, underneath one of the most oppressive regimes, and in one of the most oppressive nations in the world, North Korea. And so her critique of American culture and the American college experience should be noted. More next on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
First to know, The Morning Show with Preston Scott on News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
Minutes after the hour of The Morning Show with Preston Scott. Good morning. Thanks very much for joining us this morning. We're talking about Yeoman Park, a Columbia University student from North Korea, a North Korean defector. And she's sharing her experiences at Columbia. Listen to what happened at orientation.
And before every class, it is the same thing. Like, we go around and, like, tell us your pronoun. And, like, English is my third language. I learned it as an, like, adult. I sometimes really, like, say he or she by mistake. Not because I don't respect them, but now they suddenly ask me to call them they. And, like, how the heck do I incorporate in my sentences? I literally thought, it felt like the regression in civilization, you know? And maybe even North Korea is just not nuts, right? Like, I was like, yeah, North Korea was pretty crazy, but not as this crazy.
How about that?
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
North Korea was crazy, but not this crazy. My Lord.
Well, first, and again, I just want to take time to reflect on her comments here. First, the personal pronouns. She had the courage to say, how do I incorporate that into the grammar that I'm learning?
Right.
It doesn't work.
When I learned English, this makes no sense.
This is my third language. You are really messing with me.
Yeah, bless her heart. I mean,
English is not an easy language.
No, not at all.
But then to be hit with the personal pronouns nonsense.
Most English speakers can't speak English correctly.
I stumble with it.
Yeah, everyone
mean, it
does.
Just, but she's confronted by this, and she's all of a sudden. Now, keep in mind, and we'll get to this in the last soundbite in the next segment. She is, in her mind, this is her country. She's adopted America as her country. And she recognizes that the thinking and the way that the university experience is at this Ivy League school is very similar to education in North Korea. Now think about the comments that we shared earlier from the mom from China, who said what's rolling out in our public schools is straight out of Mao and the Chinese Cultural Revolution that led to the deaths of tens of millions. Put those two together. Now, go back to what we discussed 2 weeks ago when Dennis Prager wrote his answer to the question, Preston, what do we do? And it's the question I've received. He received it in his own form. What do we do as Americans? What do we do? And he answered, get your kids out of public schools.
Yep.
And thoroughly vet the schools you put them in if you're not going to homeschool them. Because not every school that claims to be a Christian school is. And not every school that claims to be a private school adhering to values of days gone by is. You've got to know the curriculum. Thankfully, we have parents fighting back. And it looks as though there's a movement building against critical race, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. This ideology is embedded deep in the education circles of this country, the bedrock, the foundation. So, back with more sound from Yeonmi Park, a North Korean defector, and the last one is the best one, coming up next on The Morning Show.
LA on your phone with the iHeartRadio app and on hundreds of devices like Alexa, Google Home, Xbox, and Sonos.
This is crazy!
And iHeart's radio station.
All right, I wanted to just play some sound bites from this young lady, Yeonmi Park. And I want to go back to her journey. Escaping North Korea, ending up in the hands of Chinese human traffickers who sold them into slavery, she and her mother. She was sold for $300 U.S., her mom was sold for $100 U.S.
Gosh.
They escaped through Christian missionaries who helped them by getting them through the Gobi Desert into Mongolia.
Wow.
Through that, they end up in South Korea. Then end up in America. You need to keep that journey in mind. And so now we come to this final soundbite that I grabbed, where she touches on critical thinking and what happens inside U.S. universities.
Education almost makes you not to be able to think critically, even though in the name of critical thinking, that's what they do. Like, I remember after my escape, they told me, like, critical thinking is what does that mean? And then they said, like, you know, Kim's were dictators, they go to bathroom and they were not starving. And in North Korea, I literally believe that my dear leader was starving. He's the fattest guy, right? How can anyone believe that? And like somebody literally showed me a photo, look at him, like he's the fattest guy. other people are all thin. And it's like, oh my God, why did I not think that he was fat actually, right?
All right, I want to pause that. She's talking about how they have been told that the leader of North Korea is starving and is suffering with them. And then she saw a picture of Kim Jong-un and said, oh my gosh, he's fat.
It was a little difficult to make
right.
that out.
And that's why
saying.
I'm pausing. She said, how could I believe that? He's the fattest guy out there. And she goes on to explain.
Because I never learned how to think critically. So I think that is almost the absurdity that's happening in America. People see things, but still they just completely lost ability to think critically. They have zero appreciation for what this country did, what the Constitution says to protect individual liberty. They have zero appreciation. They're dying to give all their liberty away. It's like, where are we going from here? It's the future of our country is as bleak as North Korea if we do not rise up right now. Literally, we are going into this distinct zone of like there's no like rule of law, no morality, nothing is good and bad anymore. So complete chaos. And I guess that's what they want. So eventually, they want to destroy every single thing and then rebuild like communist, you know, paradise maybe. I don't know what we are going towards.
She gets it.
So consider the journey. Consider her, just those last few moments. The Constitution. She said it. The freedoms. She said it. Our country. She said that. This is so... And I get it. I'm almost 61 now. I cry about anything. It's an old age thing, I suppose. I don't know. I've always been an emotional puffball. Always. I've always cried at happy endings in movies. I've always cried over sad things in movies. When Aaron said goodbye to Wetumpka, Alabama, and cried. I cried with her. I did. I was like, oh, I know what you mean. I'm empathetic that way. That's just who I am. I tear up when I hear people from these communist regimes come to this country and say, our country. I don't know if you got all of what she said, like Grant was saying, and I had to clean it up to try to
have to
boost some of the
piece
highs
it together a little bit,
just to help you hear it as best as you could. But I hope you got it.
The important parts were abundantly clear.
That's what I hope, and I hope it inspires you. Doggone it, this is our country. We need to have that respect and appreciation for what this country is. It's not perfect, but it's the greatest country on earth. 27 past the hour. Tim Head joins us next from Faith Family Coalition, big event this week. We'll talk about it next.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster films in the last decade, then chances are that what you watched has been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. Film scenes get completely altered. Films get canceled or lose funding. Actors supporting human rights are banned. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in uncovering the impact of this campaign on our society and highlighting the brave souls fighting back and turning the tide. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And when you want or listen again, the Preston Scott Podcast is at WFLAFM.com.
Five minutes after the hour, it's the morning show with Preston Scott, Grant Allen over there, Studio 1AM here in Studio 1B, and a big fat apology to our guest, Tim Head. Tim called in about a half hour ago, and miscommunication on my end completely, and so I'm pleased that he was kind enough to come back around and call us again. I wanted to have Tim on because there's a big event going on that you probably don't know much about, because the mainstream media is not interested in covering it. He's executive director with the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Tim, thanks for joining me, and apologies again.
No need for apologies whatsoever. Thank you for letting me come on your show. We appreciate it. Love the work that you guys do up there in Tallahassee.
Well, we try hard. You know, it's interesting. I've just been talking about a couple of different people today. A mom that survived the Chinese Cultural Revolution in Virginia, and a North Korean defector who, with the help of Christian missionaries, got out of human trafficking and slavery in China and eventually made her way to the United States, Yanmi Park. It's really tough to capsule what's going wrong in our country right now. So as you share with us what this conference is about, how did you break down the org chart for tackling the issues we're facing?
Well, that's a great question, and there's a lot kind of packed into your question, but our organization was founded about 12 years ago, and our focus is bringing the way we like to say it is a biblical worldview or biblical values in a constitutional framework. So I myself am a Christian, but we know that, this is a big country and all kinds of different faiths here, but we believe that the freedom to be able to worship and to be able to practice our faith is really one of the foundational, fundamental freedoms and values or virtues of this country. And, so I believe that, to your question of how do we kind of break down the breakdown of our culture, you really kind of have to take a granulated approach. So we do actually do a lot of work on human trafficking. We do a lot of work on the life issue. Certainly family and marriage is a big issue. Support for Israel is a large focus of ours. So we tackle probably 10 or 12 different subject matters, but we try to approach each of those from a biblical worldview within a constitutional framework. And then we do events like this one to bring known and valuable voices to kind of speak to each of those different issues. So that's exactly what we're going to be doing here in Orlando for the next 3 days. We'll have almost 3,000 people in attendance with a lot of visible names, like, certainly Governor DeSantis will be with us on Saturday. Attorney General Moody is going to be with us this afternoon. Jeanine Pirro, Leo Terrell, believe it or not, has become something of a voice of reason. Mm-hmm. He's not a Republican, but he is a problem solver, which we appreciate. And, a lot of other folks, Vice President Pence will be with us tomorrow afternoon. And, on and on. Lindsey Graham, Rick Scott, Marco Rubio, Byron Daniels, from here in kind of central southern Florida. A lot of members of Congress, senators, governors, attorneys general, lieutenant governors, and kind of other public thinkers on these issues. So we're excited to be able to bring a light, shed a light on these issues this week. But really, the work is round the clock,
Tim, stand by. Tim Hedge with me, executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition conference this weekend in Orlando. And talk about ground zero for things in this state. we're going to address kind of the attendees and the breakout sessions, if there are any. I'm going to dig a little deeper next here on The Morning Show with Preston Scott.
Morning Show with Preston Scott.
What's up, Doc?
On News Radio 100.7 WFLA.
41 minutes after the hour. It's The Morning Show. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Tim Head with me. He is with the Faith and Freedom Coalition. Who knows, maybe a year from now we can pack up the program and head down there and I can take some Republican leaders hostage and make them listen to common sense on how to message. But in the meantime, Tim, you mentioned 3,000 attendees. Describe for me the type of person that's coming and why. Are they coming for strategy? Are they coming for just kind of to get fired up? What's their reason in maybe attending?
Well, I think, frankly, about half of these people are coming from other parts of the country just to be able to see some sunshine and not be able to have to wear a mask. But with that being said, this is our 11th conference to do, and it's really so one of the highlights for me is being able to kind of pull people aside and talk about what they themselves are working on in different parts of the country, different states from coast to coast, and these are basically just very civically active citizens. So. No doubt there are dozens, actually a couple of hundred pastors are signed up that are here that are trying to figure out how to kind of lead their congregations and position their churches in a pretty complicated patchwork that we're living in right now. But really most of these people, are just concerned Americans. And they don't want to just kind of sit on their Barca lounger and watch TV about this. They want to get involved and kind of get up to speed with what's going on. So, I mentioned kind of some examples of some main stage speakers that are going to be with this. But all together, we have about 70 different speakers, including 10 or 12 breakout sessions that get a little bit more granular on, maybe how to build a local organization. How to engage with your school board or your city council, certainly subject matters. We'll have some state legislators from Texas, from North Carolina, from Georgia that are going to, their sessions are done now. And so they're going to talk about some of the policies, some of the legislation that we saw some victories on this year. Of course, media is talking about everything that's going wrong. But one of the things that we try to accentuate at this conference is, there actually are some things that are going right. They just don't get reported. And so a lot of these folks are coming to kind of be equipped and mm-hmm. be encouraged, as well as to, maybe go across the street and ride some rides later on next week.
How do you measure the relative success of an event like this?
Well, that's a great question. On the front end, we did a smaller conference last year, late last year. We had to reroute because for obvious COVID reasons, but saw pretty good attendance. But one of the things that I'm kind of intrigued by as somebody who runs an organization that works in D.C. and in half the state legislatures at this point is just sort of the interest level and the energy level. And so that doesn't necessarily reflect Faith and Freedom Coalition's quote-unquote success, but it does reflect or indicate sort of what we're working with on the grassroots. And I've been super encouraged. Obviously November didn't go as well as a lot of people wanted it to go on the federal presidential level. And so it would be really easy for people to kind of burrow in bunker down. But instead we're seeing that there's actually, I would argue for our purposes, there's actually more interest than there's ever been, which I'm actually extremely encouraged by. I think a lot of the attendees, like I said, are coming to be encouraged by what's happening legislatively across the country. I myself, as somebody that does this, seemingly 24 hours a day, I'm encouraged just by them being here, instead of kind of folding up tent and moving to Costa Rica because of some of the Biden administration policies right now.
Tim, I appreciate what you're doing. As they say, your people need to talk to my people and let you and me talk. We need to talk a little more frequently, I think. Thanks for the time. Thanks for the effort with the convention conference this week, and I appreciate you very much. Thank you.
Hey, thank you for everything you do. God bless.
Thank you, sir. Tim Head with us, Executive Director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition. You got to caucus with the GOP, but you got to make the GOP change their ways a bit. 46 minutes after. All right, a couple things here. Number one, it's Thursday, which means that maybe some of you along the coast visiting, coming in for the weekend, hanging out, Panama City, Panama City Beach, Mexico Beach, the area, you're going to hit the beach. Double red flags means the beaches are closed, meaning don't go in the water. You might be able to walk along the beach, but when I say the beach, I'm talking about the water. Don't go in the water.
Double
red flags. Don't go in the water. Don't go in the water. Double red flags is like, no. Red flags means high hazard. Yellow, medium. I just want to remind you, we lost three people last week in South Central Florida in the Gulf Coast. One tried to save two others. The two others weren't heeding the fact that you just shouldn't have been in that water. But at all costs, learn what to do if you're caught in a rip current. Learn what to do. Okay? Ask a lifeguard. Hey, if I get caught, if the water changes suddenly, I get caught in a riptide, what do I do? Ask. They'll tell you. Anyway, I'm going to make these reminders throughout the summer. I've just made the decision. Public service. Try to help people stay alive. But stay out of the water if the flags are red. Please, 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 please. Second thing. Best as I can tell you, the final Rush Limbaugh program will be Friday. Monday, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton will be in that time slot. And I believe the Rush update ends as of Friday. Early in the morning on this radio program, here locally at least. So I'm just making you aware. I don't want you shocked. I regret that it hasn't been maybe promoted and you haven't been made more aware. I just think that as Rush's audience, and most of you are, you deserved a little more notice than you've received. And so just remember the podcast, remember the RushLimbaugh.com page. You can still join RushLimbaugh.com and have access to all the archives and videos and stuff that they keep on that page. And I just, anyway, that would be my recommendation to you. But that, I just wanted you to be aware that's what's coming on Monday.
Brought to you by Barino Heating and Air. It's the Morning Show 180 on WFLA.
Look back at the program in 180 seconds or less. We have a CBS co-anchor, co-host of CBS This Morning, excusing a shoplifter at a Walgreens in San Francisco, saying, "You're probably getting something you need." Well, let's just say that about everything. How about they break into your house? They're just getting something they need. Right? You have insurance, right? Oh, man. The Survey Center says that Democrats and illiberals are almost three times more likely to dump a friend because of their politics. The worst offenders, illiberal women. Group of parents sent their kids face masks to a lab for analysis. What they found was gross and disgusting. They didn't find any viruses, but they found lots of other things. That's why you don't wear masks if you're healthy. We'll do it again tomorrow with What's to Be Friday and more. Thanks for listening.
Hollywood is under siege from an external force. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream is now making nightmares a reality. Many major films appease the Chinese Communist Party to be distributed in China. Join Tiffany Meyer, an investigative reporter, in Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, where she reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.